Tuning. You alright? I hope you are. Somebody in the chat, Tommy Chong, predicted I'd be wearing a green suit today. It's always worrying when someone does that. How can they see? How did they know? How could they possibly have... They know me better than myself. Input username now. That's their name. At input underscore username underscore now. They've often called it right. They've called it right like half a dozen times, I've noticed. I don't think I haven't noticed. Anyway. It is now 1 minute past eight in the AM British summertime on Thursday. Is it now Thursday we're on, are we? The 30th of July in the year of our Lord, 2026. You're the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining me. Without you, it isn't a thing. I'm joined by my producer, Little Harry, who's back from his day off yesterday. How are you this morning, good sir?
Morning, I'm all good.
And you was off for your birthday, weren't you?
Yeah, I was 21.
21, the big 21. To be 21 again. Ah, how glorious it would be. Got your whole life ahead of you. I'm super jealous. I'm super jelly. How am I? Yeah, I'm not great, actually. Every morning I say, how am I? Yeah, I'm fine. Of course I am. I'm a bit delicate this morning, I've got to admit. I thought, I was wondering, debating with myself whether to say anything or not. But, yeah, I don't feel great, I've got to say. I mean, not that bad, putting a brave face on it. Last night, I went out for a Restore meeting in Swindon in a pub. And I hadn't eaten anything. I didn't have any alcoholic beverage, not one tiny millimetre of alcoholic beverage past my lips. I was drinking OJ. I'm not a big drinker anyway, and I just didn't fancy drink booze. But I hadn't had any dinner, so I ordered some food in that pub. I ordered a mac and cheese with chorizo in it. Tasted delicious, absolutely delicious. Middle of the night, I wake up, nearly puked in my own bed, nearly puked on the floor in my bedroom, really nearly, dashed to the toilet, projectile vomit. That's a bit early to be talking about this, isn't it, really, in any sort of detail. You know when your body's just like, oh, there's poison inside you. Oh, you've been poisoned, you've got to get it out of your system this instant. That happened to me in the middle of the night last night. Now I feel really weak, weak as a baby. It's not that bad. It's not like I can't keep down a cup of tea. This is like my second cup of tea. It's not that bad, but... I don't feel great, you know what I'm saying? A little bit... So apologies if it's a little bit low energy today. As I say, I was debating whether to say anything, whether to just put a brave face on it and just carry on, regardless, and not say anything, but why not be honest? Why not? All right. With that said, that's plenty of faffing about for one morning, is it? There's no need for any more fannying around now. Let's just get straight on with it, shall we? What's the Legacy Corporate Mainstream Media News banging on about this morning? What's that cabal of evil Fleet Street editors trying to tell us is or isn't important? What are they lying to us about by omission, if by nothing else? We've got future looking droughtful. Very clever wordplay, isn't it? Very clever wordplay. Drought, doubtful, droughtful. There's a drought in England, or so they say. There's actually a particular, I think, even legal criterion that needs to be reached before it's formally, officially a drought. It's been reached in various parts of southern and central England. And dinghy flotilla. A massive number of illegal invaders, largely sub-Saharan African invaders, invaded England yesterday. Between 700 and 1,000 in one day. It's an invasion. It's nothing to do with being refugees. France is a safe country. These are invaders. The Metro, ugh. Must we? Must we? The Metro. Third in just 5 years. Drought, that is. A third drought in 5 years. Future looking droughtful for baking Britain. And is that... That's Blackheath in London. Look, there's like the City of London there. Not the City of Westminster. That'll be beyond. But the City of London there. That's Blackheath. Look, it's been so hot that the grass has been scorched a bit. Like nearly every year. Is it hotter than 1976, though? That's the big question. 76. Is it hotter than 76? Is the winter colder than 1947? Is the summer hotter than 1976? That's the big question. Whatever you do, don't talk about being invaded. Metro won't talk about that. Don't talk about the crime rate per capita among small boat migrants. Don't talk about that. Don't talk about that. Just talk about that it's hot. Okay. The Eye Paper. Burnham signals tax rises for pay for social care. Yeah. I saw yesterday, I watched nearly all, practically all of Burnham doing an address to like a healthcare, some sort of NHS and or healthcare audience. Because Andy Burnham was the health secretary, wasn't he, under Gordon Brown. So he can claim, I mean, legitimately claim, that one of his areas of expertise, if you can even call it that, really, is health policy. And they asked him afterwards, he took questions from reporters, and they asked him, are you going to need to raise taxes to pay for your healthcare? And he did say a number of times, no, I think we can do a lot more, to begin with anyway, I think we can do a lot more within the existing framework of the budgets that we've got. But then later, when pressed, you know, like, okay, that's all well and good to begin with, but what about ultimately? And he was like, I'm denied a bit. So they can and are spinning that as he's going to raise taxes. He probably will. Probably will. Okay. Take a shorter shower to save water in drought, public urged. New plea to save every drop as fourth heat wave hits. Drought declared in half of England as, quote, exceptionally serious, quote, dry spell continues. Households using water, far, quote, faster than nature can replenish it, end quote. Warns Environment Agency. Public urged to reduce water use with shorter showers, low flow shower heads, and not pre-rinsing before using the dishwasher. Another year of dry weather may trigger formal water rationing measures, experts say. Growing wildfires could see, quote, all of Europe on fire, quote, by August, claims EU emergency chief. Did you get the picture there? Did you get the trend? Just increasingly more alarmist, more extreme, until there's got to be water rationing now, or the whole of Europe will be on fire. Because of the climate models, which are nonsense. There'll be climate lockdowns, climate taxes. All sorts of measures. Water rationing. Really, we talk about water rationing, are we? A bit later in one of the headlines, I don't know if we'll get to it, if I say, but it was talking about food supply lines in danger because of climate. They are going to try and use this like a COVID, eventually at some point, aren't they? Like a COVID rationale to keep you locked up, to take away your liberty, ultimately. And yet you'll still get crazy Greens and Lib Dems and Labour and idiot boomers. Not all, go-based boomers. Who think that the whole thing is real. That 200, 250 parts per million of man-made CO2 in the atmosphere drives climate change, which it doesn't. And that therefore we must be locked down, water rationing, food rationing. The whole of Europe will be on fire. There won't be Earth left to save if we don't act now. All that nonsense. absolute retarded nonsense. People that believe that have they're failing to understand reality properly. Basically. The independent view, PM has grasped the nettle of social care, but the sting remains in paying for it. Great insight. Well done, the independent. You needed your Oxbridge graduates to work around the clock on that one. Scorched earth Britain. Again, it's just a bit of parched grass. Just a bit of parched grass. Calm down. Flash drought. Never heard that expression before in my life. That is just a new thing. How they do that now? They just say new things now. Like a nightingale prison. Or a flash drought. Declared in half of England. Really? Flash drought. Okay. July is set to be driest ever recorded. Wisley in Surrey sees 43 days with no rain. Cairngorms wildfire burns for 2 weeks. Yeah, the climate changes, yeah. Yeah, the Earth's climate is in flux, always has been, always will be. We're in an interglacial period within an ice age. Yeah, it's been a hot a bit. Evil cabal of Fleet Street editors. Evil. Okay, the Sun. The Sun calculate they can get more clicks by talking about our invasion. Dinghy flotilla in channel as French admit waving migrants through and 1,000 arrive in a day. How's that plan going, PM? The Sun sarcastically ask. Because Andy Burnham had said, I think just a day ago or maybe 48 hours ago, he'd said Labour stopped the small boat. Or not, he didn't actually claim they'd stopped the small boats. He just said it's doing better than ever before in the battle to stop the small boats. Of course, you could always send a small operation of Royal Marines to the Channel to physically stop them. We've definitely got the men and materiel and resources for that. Just a few dozen 4-2 commando, Royal Marines or whatever. Literally highly trained soldiers to do exactly that sort of thing. Exactly that sort of thing. But no, they won't do that. Anyway, Burnham had claimed that Labour's plan was working. Not at all. No, it was like a record day. A flotilla of up to 1,000 migrants landed in Britain yesterday. That's very small for me to read, but basically it says that we've given the French basically about £1 billion over the last couple of years, 2-3 years. About £1 billion of UK money, taxpayers' money, so that the French authorities will stop them leaving French beaches. And they're just not doing it at all. Basically at all. Hardly ever. Once in a blue moon, for completely performative reasons, for the sake of some cameras, they'll run up and pop a boat and prevent that one dinghy from leaving. But effectively not really doing anything. When they've signed contracts saying they would and taken our money. And they're still coming across. That's funny. I thought some people had argued that Labour had got a handle on it. Didn't Dr. Parvini make that argument? Turns out it was nonsense. Yeah. Burnham saying that their plan was working. Obviously not at all. Look at this. Where are the women and children? They're not refugees. These are chancers. The kindest way you could describe them is economic migrants. Thieves looking for gibbs. Parasites. Invaders. And the amount of crime, particularly sex crime, per capita among these people is astronomical. We must be mad. Literally mad. To allow them to do this to us. But the government, all the governments, they don't care. It's not an accident. They're not accidentally, every single day, day after day, failing to call a COBRA meeting and do something about it physically. If you was the Prime Minister, what you could do, you could call your Defence Secretary, like Wes Streeting is going to be able to do this. You call your Defence Secretary and you say, to your Defence Secretary, right, if we need to, if I have to, I'll call a state of emergency, but leave that to me. You go to a general one of your generals, probably in the Navy, the Royal Marines, and you put together a very, very small task force. Again, like half a dozen speedboats at most, couple of dozen, three, four dozen at most, Royal Marines, to patrol the channel. And when the dinghies try and leave the French beach, you prevent them. You prevent them. At the point of an SA-80, if necessary. Do that for a little while, a few weeks, a couple of months, and the smugglers in France will get the picture. Get the picture. They'll get the picture that they can't, that it isn't just a free, crossing. You can't do it. There's Royal Marines there with guns, locked and loaded. And then it will largely stop. It's not by accident our governments aren't doing that or anything like that. Anything like that. It's not by accident, is it? They're not forgetting to do that today, are they? It's very deliberate. The crimes that some of these people might commit in this country. You don't know, do you? They're completely unvetted. Bring it up again, Harry, so people can see. The crimes that some of these people might commit. How many? How many? Where's the women and children? Where's the old men, even? Are they all sub-Saharan Africans? The Mail says, still say your boat plan is working, Andy? Again, asking sarcastically. As hundreds more migrants rush to board channel dinghies just hours after new PM boasted of success in stopping them. Hundreds of migrants headed for Britain yesterday, just 24 hours after Andy Burnham claimed his plan to stop small boats, quote, is working, quote. What crimes might these completely unknown, unvetted individuals commit? And how, and short of that, what sort of burden financially on the state will they be? Are these going to be net contributors to the economy anytime soon? Of course not. Are they going to cost the state in housing? We have to give, it's our policy to just sort of give them mobile phones and stuff, isn't it? Feed them, house them, etc., etc., etc. It's suicidal not to be physically, forcefully preventing them from crossing the channel. There you go. You say that to nearly everyone that's in Parliament, with the exception of the odd-based person. You know, the few Reform MPs, to be fair. One or two Tories. The vast majority of our ruling class in Parliament and in Whitehall will say everything I just said is completely racist and bigoted and wrong-headed. And if anything, there should be more safe and legal routes. If anything, what's wrong here is that they have to do it illegally. They should be given legal routes to just come here. Isn't that mad? It's mad, isn't it? The Express, it's a good paper. You can read your Express now. One of the banners, going to bat for women's cricket. Women's cricket is crap. Okay, I'll say it. It's crap. Don't tell me it's good. Like women's football. See, women, I've said this before, I'll say it again. In women's sport, some women's sport is legitimately good, right? With some women's athletics is a tiny shade less good than men's athletics. In other words, it's still very, very impressive, I think. Women's gymnastics, very impressive. Right? Women's tennis is good because they've got slightly less power. The rallies are actually better and more entertaining, in my opinion. But some women's sports are clown shoes. Women's basketball, please, please. Women's football is atrocious. The level of skill in women's football is atrocious. It's laughable. You get to the later stages of the Women's World Cup. It's supposed to be a showcase for the best women's football in the world. And it's Well, it would be funny if it wasn't so pathetic. It's not even laughable. He can barely string a few passes together. There's no dynamism. None. None. There's no skill. The goalkeepers are like a parody. Well, women's cricket is one of those. It's not good. It's not good. Don't tell me it is. All right, mini rent over. Campaigners devastated after Burnham says law on assisted deaths must wait. Oh, yeah, who's asked that yesterday? And he's talking all about the NHS and social care. Someone said, what about assisted dying? And he ummed and ahed and beat around the bush quite a bit and then basically said, if we look at it again, it won't be for a while yet. Let's try and figure out the social care and my immediate plans for NHS reform first. What he said. Dying till PM. It's a weird way of writing, isn't it? They're talking about dying people that are dying, currently dying, tell the Prime Minister, we don't have time for these delays. Well, it's been through the Parliament, hasn't it, a bit? The assisted dying bill, and it was defeated, wasn't it? The House had a vote on it, and it was defeated. Zendaya, there's a new Spider-Man film coming out. I like calling it Spider-Man. Not Spider-Man, Spider-Man. Batman. Batman and Spider-Man films. Superman. There's yet another Spider-Man film come out. Zendaya's in it. I don't watch superhero films, really. I mean, the odd one, but I don't make sure I watch every single one. Heard on the news this morning, it said that Tom Holland... It's like the seventh Spider-Man film he's been in. That seems too many to me. Give it a rest. Does the world need another Spider-Man film? Not really. Does the world need another Zendaya film? Doubt it. What is it about her? I just don't mean to be unnecessarily rude. Although that is sort of my thing, isn't it? But she's, like, nothing special. How is she, like, a Hollywood A-lister? Aren't there thousands and thousands of prettier women in the world and better actresses? Harry, bring it up so people can see. There you go. Aren't there just more attractive and more highly skilled actresses in the world? Why her? I've always thought that, you know, who Hollywood decides to promote and make, like, their flavour of the month, their darling, the darling of Tinseltown for a few years. Really? Her? Really? You go into any nightclub in like Newcastle or Liverpool or London, glance around and you'll see a dozen prettier women. A dozen, right? Anywhere in the world, in fact. Zendaya, really? Well, okay. All right. Someone in the comments or the chat, you're no oil painting yourself. Yeah, I know, I know. I've never tried to claim to be like a Hollywood A-lister who trades off their face. See the difference? She's no Grace Kelly, is she? The venerable times. The 10 questions my husband won't answer. Don't care. They do that, don't they? These banners quite often. Just trying to sow division in people's marriages and families. Women, do you want to cheat? Here's how to get away with it. Women, want to leave your husband? Here's how you do it. Women, don't have babies. Have a job, have a career instead. Here's why. I'm in my 60s, childless and loving life. Here's why you should follow my example. All that. Has your husband done one tiny thing wrong? Here's why you should leave him then. All that. It's subversive, isn't it? Absolutely subversive. The times, the venerable times, you would think they might be above something like that. Nope. Just a subversive and globalist and anti-white and anti-British. There's all the rest of them. Look, here's a scorched field in Blackheath, the same one. Try and tell me they're not a cabal. The newspapers, Fleet Street's not a cabal. The same scorched field in Blackheath. Hmm. Odd. Wildfire alert as drought set to eclipse 1976. See, there you go. Is it hotter than 1976? The hottest summer ever, 1976. Get tax rebate from your mayor. Local leaders may hand revenue back to residents after Prime Minister radical devolution plans. Maybe just don't tax us as much in the first place. You're going to tax us up the yin-yang and then maybe give some back. Maybe just don't tax us insanely hard in the first place. Well, that wouldn't do. Leftists won't do that. Fabians and wannabe Marxist communists would never do that. They love destroying rich people, even middle-class people. Love it. Filthy kulaks that might own anything. It's the enemy. That's their enemy. Okay, the Telegraph. Jamelia Jamil. There's one TV a bit. This idiot Indian woman. Or half, she's half Pakistani, half Indian, I believe. Jamelia Jamil. The most annoying woman on the internet. Not my words, Jamelia. That's an editorial from the Telegraph. And she said the other day, she said something like, not that I follow her or anything, but it was just all over the news cycle at that point. It was all over Twitter, I can't remember. She said something like, British people, or I think she might even have said white British people, are the worst people ever, like of all time, in all of history. All right, thanks for that. I think she's half Indian, half Pakistani, but was born and raised, or raised at least, in Britain. Like, she's got an English accent and is entirely anglicised. All right, that's nice, isn't it? But then you'll grow up. I think she's moved to America now. Which is obviously raised with a giant chip on her shoulder. Giant chip on her shoulder. Well, for colonialism. British white people, the worst people of all time. Really? Really? I think you're mad, love. I think you don't know anything about history, really. I think you were raised by some psychopathic losers. And they've just imprinted that on your tiny mind. And now you're parroting it out like you know what you're doing and talking about. I think you're a cretin, love. The Daily Telegraph is that ever so odd-looking Zendaya creature we're supposed to believe is like a starlet. Again, what I mentioned Grace Kelly a minute ago. What about Hollywood starlets of yesteryear? And now it's degraded, degenerated into this thing. Okay. Calls grow for England to boycott World Cup because of... do you remember, was it yesterday? Was it talking about? Was it just yesterday? Or was it on Tuesday? Talking about the FIFA, the governing body of world football, FIFA, and the guy that is sort of at the head of that, Infantino, wants to sell off a portion of the... of the rights to commercials. And that various countries around the world are considering boycotting the next World Cup, maybe. I wouldn't have thought they would. It's too big a competition. Maybe they will, but I wouldn't have thought so. It feels like saber rattling in the world of football governance to me. Okay. Trump vows to give Iran a beating, quote, a beating for surprise attack. Apparently, the latest is because Trump had halted some of the bombing. In Iran, briefly, over the last couple of days. And then, according to reports, Iran launched some missiles into Jordan, at American bases in Jordan. Don't think anyone was killed or anything in that instance. And Trump's hitting back with a beating, or in somewhere else I saw a quote, it said a very heavy strike or something like that. So again, there was some sort of lull in the exchange of ordnance, and now it's back on again, it seems. There you go. NHS cancels blood tests after net zero curbs on air conditioning. Brilliant. Brilliant. The net zero thing and the climate hoax is clearly, to me, a vehicle for sort of destroying our economies and our country and the fabric of our society in various ways. Just one more vector of attack for enemies of the West. Because the problems with aircon, net zero, born out of net zero, that to cancel blood tests in the NHS. On the strength of an insane leftist liar, you might not get your blood test. At least for a while longer. Longer than you've already awaited. Mad. Mad. Badenoch, that's Olukemi Badenoch, the Nigerian woman, the literal, actual anchor baby, somehow finding herself LARPing as the leader of the opposition. A cuckoo in the nest. A foreign fifth columnist pretending to be patriotic and conservative. What's she conserving, exactly? What she thinks she's conserving. Now pretending to be based. If that was only a few years ago, she was gloating in Parliament about more student visas for foreign people she'd brought in. Now pretending she's a completely different politician. Her politics are completely different to that. She steps up attacks on net zero. Don't care. Not interested. Don't believe anything she says or the Tories say or do. Don't believe any of it. They had their chance. They had the last 14 years. They should be judged by that for at least a generation, if not two, at most. I'd like to see the Conservative Party completely end. I'd like it to be completely destroyed as an organisation. Politically, I'm talking about. That it just folds. It isn't a thing anymore. It does not exist anymore. That's what I would like to see happen to the Conservative Party and the Labour Party. Harry faces £18 million bill. That's Prince Harry. Harry Windsor. Harry Sex Coburg and Gotha. Harry faces £18 million bill after male court battle. Womp womp. Oh dear. Gutted, Harry. Gutted. Because he lost, didn't he? He took the male to court. Him and a bunch of other people, like Elton John, wasn't it? Mariella Frostrop? Was she one? Liz Hurley, was she one? Can't remember now. It was definitely Elton John, though. A few, like, quite high profile people took them out to court claiming, oh, Doreen Lawrence, wasn't it? Lady Lawrence. Stephen Lawrence's mum. And they claimed the male had just been, done all sorts of shenanigans, hadn't they? It was like up to and including hacking, wasn't it? Phone hacking and all sorts of stuff. Anyway, they lost, didn't they? They just lost across the board. It was 1890 odd things they'd accused the male of doing, and the judge ruled against them in favour of the male with on every single one. Now Harry's got to pay 18 million quid. It's all right. Daddy's got quite deep pockets, isn't it? Oh, and his brother. Wills is worth more than the king. Remember that a few weeks ago? Prince of Wales, the Duke of Cambridge's estate, is worth more than the king's. Remarkably. Don't know how much money, liquid cash. Harry has got himself. Probably not short of a few bob, but he would have thought still 18 million is a big hit, isn't it? His brother or daddy. Or Elton John. I mean, that would be a drop in the ocean to Elton John. Maybe Elton John, Harry can say, look, Elton, we tried, we lost. You wouldn't mind. You wouldn't mind, old boy, would you, if you just at least bunged me half of that 18 million? No? You're way rich. I bet Elton John's way richer than Prince Harry. Way richer. All right. Enough of that. Let's move on. The Financial Times, the same picture of that parched field in Blackheath in London. And they'll try and tell you that these papers are completely sort of independent of each other and it's not effectively one cabal. Obviously it is. Obviously so. Parched Heath, drought hits half of England. Let's use the same picture as all the other supposedly independent newspapers are going with. Anyway. Fed holds, that's the Federal Reserve in the United States. The Fed holds rates despite fears of price pressures from renewed Iran conflict. Central Bank, US Central Bank, the Federal Reserve, defies markets. Inflation threat from energy costs. Trump vows a beating for Iran. So yeah, some people thought the Fed might change its rates, interest rates. But it hasn't. You know, even when, I think also the Bank of England did it very recently. Was it even today? Or yesterday, rather. Also held their rates steady. Before now, I've actually said, which was a bit slightly misleading, that when a central bank holds its rates steady, that's nothing, that nothing happened. Well, it is and it isn't. It sort of isn't, really. That is still something. To not change the rates when they're expected to, or they said they might, and then they don't. That is still something, actually, if you know what I mean. You know what I mean. So various people, various commentators thought the Fed might change their rates, but they haven't. Okay. FTSE 100 hits record high as investors seek out, quote, place to hide, quote, from Tech Route. Harry, Big Harry Robinson, did a segment yesterday on the main podcast of Lotus Eaters. I was on that panel, wasn't I? Talking all about that perhaps the AI tech bubble is beginning to burst. In fact, quite a lot of tech companies their stock prices tumbled over the last few days, last week or so. It's just another story in that vein. A lot of investors are looking to take their money out of various tech and AI firms and put it in more, what, like conventional blue chip things, FTSE 100, you know, more conventional stocks, equities. We shall see. The AI tech bubble does seem to me, obviously, that, or at least a bit that, a bubble. Some interesting content. One time, one of the early epochs with Dan Tubbs talking about the history of bubbles, financial bubbles, Wall Street crash. South Sea Company bubble. Even the tulip mania in Holland in the 18th century. Right, the Star, what slop have they got? Burnham carer boost. Prime Minister Andy cheers up Fiona, who's just a care worker. Okay, thanks, the Star. Great journalism there. Great journalism. That definitely wasn't just phoned in. Sure. The Mirror. That bird is going to be a presenter on a new show. Don't care. Inside Funeral Horror Home. Where Are Our Babies? Grieving Mum's Plea as Harrowing Pics Released. Remember yesterday there's a story. For some reason The Mirror decided to go with it again. This guy ran a funeral home. Seems to be devoid of humanity. Why would you do such a thing otherwise? It's just not cremating bodies and just piling them up somewhere and pocketing the money, including babies. And he's on trial right now. He's not, like, denying it, I don't think. He's trying to say sorry, if anything. He's like, but what a crazy, crazy story that is. The Mirror feel it's worth a second day's coverage because it's so horrible and harrowing about dead babies. Of course the Mirror would revel in that. Of course the Mirror would revel in that. Because the Mirror is devoid of humanity, isn't it? Really? Almost devoid of reason, the Mirror. It's almost as leftist and globalist as, like, the Metro and the Standard and the Guardian, almost. Their Farage derangement syndrome, reform and restore derangement syndrome, is off the charts, isn't it? The Mirror. Gross. Talking of gross, the Guardian. Absolutely disgusting. Morally, ethically, and actually disgusting. Seditious filth. Subversion. perversion. That's what you get from The Guardian. Don't be fooled. That's exactly what it is. The Guardian, Fabian socialist commie rag, leftist propaganda organ, The Guardian, tells us, oh, look, they've got a bit of reformed arrangement syndrome. Cottrell transferred £2 million to mother days before her reform donations. There may or may not be anything wrong with that. We don't know yet, do we? The Guardian. There's a tiny, tiny thread to pull on that may damage reform and Nige. Well, we'll just put it front and centre. The top of the paper. Oh, what a surprise. They've got an image of the exact same field in Blackheath that's been scorched by the sun. Climate change, you've got to pay 40p for a plastic bag now. You can't burn fossil fuels now, and your economy will just start to crumble now because of this parched field. Water rationing. You probably have to stay home at some point. We'll probably have to put you under house arrest, like COVID, because of this now, at some point. Burnham puts Trident at heart of UK renewal. That is one thing he came out in the last 24 hours and said. He's committed to, if nothing else, a new generation of our nuclear submarines, our deterrent. Nuclear deterrent. Trident is the bombs. Well, it's not actually the bombs, is it? Trident's technically the delivery system, the missile, isn't it? So that is one thing that the British military seems like it's the base rock, the bedrock. If nothing else, we make sure we have at least one nuclear submarine patrolling the oceans at any given moment, at least one. That's why we've got two or three, so there's a contingency. So that if anyone ever nukes us, we can definitely nuke them back. Got to make sure that's locked in at all costs. At all costs, we've got to be able to, you know, start a nuclear winter. Okay. All right. They're the front pages. They're the increasingly frustrating and absurd front pages and sloppy front pages. And that single cabal of Fleet Street editors. You saw it, didn't you? You noticed they were all going with the exact same image and angle about climate change. How odd. They're supposed to be completely separate organs. All right, let's do our poll. Let's look at the poll. We do our poll this time of the show, don't we? We asked you guys, are you concerned about Iranian terror cells in the UK? The ayes have it, 80% say yes. 20% say no. Still, that's a stonking win. If that was a national referendum, you would claim a mandate for all time, wouldn't you? 80%. On that, actually, here's a story. Let's do this. Let's just talk about this story real quick. Is it on... I thought it was on. I sworn it was on the Mail. Okay. Well, it was. I guess the pages. Here it is. Sorry, here it is. It was the top of the Mail, like 45 minutes ago. It's now sort of third or fourth. Let's have a little read of this. It's like a Frederick Forsyth novel. I like Frederick Forsyth books. Over the last couple of years, I've read and listened to the audiobooks of all the original James Bond novels. They're quite good. After that, I moved on to Frederick Forsyth ones. Also very, very good 70s and 80s similar type books. It's like the Day of the Jackal, probably the most famous one. Seeing the Edward Fox film of that. Great, brilliant. The original book, Frederick Forsyth, The Devil Jackal, that's great. The Dogs of War, that was great. The Odessa File. There's one called The Fourth Protocol I only listened to the other day. Very, very good. There's a number of them. Like spy stuff. Espionage and spy stuff, largely. And assassination stuff. Okay. This story. I'm going on a crazy mission. How a baby-faced teenager was paid £21,000 to travel from Norway to Huddersfield on a mission to kill on behalf of Iranian terrorists. Wait, what? What now? Really? You sure about that? It sounds crazy, doesn't it? It does sound like something out of a Forsyth book or something. Something from the pages of fiction. Let's just read it. When I was reading this morning, I was a little bit gripped. I was like, oh, really? Oh. So I was reading it, thinking it's going to be sort of just nonsense. But he's finished his trial. So all these details came out in open court. So it's sort of confirmed fact, essentially. All right, let's have a little read. I thought it was interesting. On March the 15th last year, 18-year-old Johannes Natland sent a message to his girlfriend in a fit of excitement, which said, I'm going on a crazy mission. 2 days later, he left home in Stavanger, which is in southwest Norway, telling his mother he was going to play football. He instead flew to Manchester before collecting a 9mm semi-automatic Luger pistol, a revolver, 12 rounds of live ammo, and £2,000 in cash. It turned out crazy was somewhat of an understatement. Natland's mission had been to assassinate a target on behalf of an Iranian-backed Swedish gang for £21,000. It's all come out in court. Apparently, it's sort of, this is documented fact, it seems. He was arrested in a hotel room in Huddersfield. Huddersfield. Okay. In Huddersfield, West Yorkshire, hours before he was due to carry out the hit. It seemed implausible, yeah. The baby-faced teenager came from a middle-class home in a safe town enriched by North Sea oil. He was a bright student, talented footballer, and aspiring lawyer. But in a 2-week trial at the Old Bailey, jurors heard that Natland, while not quite a hitman from a Hollywood movie, was precisely the type of vulnerable teenager preyed upon by Europe's most menacing gang, the Foxtrot Network. The Foxtrot Network. Again, more and more sort of Forsyth-esque stuff. And there's a picture of this kid. Well, man. I think he's a bit of a psycho. When we read some more of the details, I think he's a bit unhinged. That's the 9mm, isn't it? That would be a 9mm. Okay, let's read on. He was on Wednesday convicted, so just yesterday, convicted of conspiracy to murder following a retrial after the original jury failed to reach a verdict. Yet some of the most astonishing facts have not yet been made public. Until now, thanks Daily Mail, the Daily Mail can reveal Natland, now 19, was in contact with a senior Foxtrot recruiter. This is a Swedish-Iraqi gangster, so an Iraqi. Swedish-Iraqi, no such thing. There's no such thing. That's nonsense. That's a globalist made-up thing, subversive thing. An Iraqi gangster, Ali Shihab, 22, known as Agent 47, a name taken from video game Hitman. Before I had a beard, some people said I look like Agent 47. They also said I look like Richard O'Brien, so. And Carl Pilkington, so. All right. Shihab is a close ally of the Foxtrot boss, who allegedly struck a deal with Iran to target the state's enemies abroad. The gang has wreaked havoc across Scandinavia in recent years, but this case is believed to be its first on UK soil. It offers a worrying window into how Iranian proxy gangs are waging a war of terror across Europe. Natland, the son of two journalists and youngest of three siblings, grew up in genteel surroundings. Stavanger, a town of around 150,000, has reaped the rewards of North Sea oil. High-end boutiques, cafes and restaurants tumble down its slopes to the shores of a fjord. Sounds lovely. Somewhere I'd like to retire to and just read and write loads. Okay. He didn't like it, though. Johan Natland didn't seem to like it. But when asked in court for his opinion on his hometown, Natland had a rather less glowing review. He said, football is really the only thing to do there. All I know, it is quite a crappy place. He said a word beginning with S. That is the same as crappy. It's quite a crappy city, he said. Sounds idyllic, mate. What's wrong with you? As boredom set in, Natland, quote, started to experiment. He began smoking cannabis at 13 and later graduated to ecstasy, LSD, cocaine and heroin. Ooh. Like cannabis, big deal. Ecstasy, right, be careful. LSD, once in a blue moon, maybe. Cocaine, heroin, terrible, ridiculous. So you're completely off the rails. Completely. Something's gone terribly wrong. You're doing heroin at like 21 or whatever he is. What is he? I can't remember, 22 or something. 22. Oh, no. Anyway. Because I'm bored, because my idyllic Norwegian town is too peaceful and idyllic and beautiful. I've got to start doing heroin, really? I've got a pretty 19-year-old girlfriend, but I'm just so bored. That's his girlfriend, by the way. Age 17, he became convinced his parents were trying to kill him. Oh, so he's mad. Oh, right, he's mad. Okay. So he locked himself in his brother's bedroom with a kitchen knife. Right, so he's unhinged. Okay. He spent time in a psychiatric unit and a children's care home. Right, okay, starting to get a bit more of an actual... He's just a talented footballer, an aspiring lawyer. Is he? Was he deeply troubled and disturbed? Which one is it? Heroin addict. Which one is it? Okay. There, he met another teenage boy who went by the online alias Unknown Hustler. Natland was in recovery when he received a sinister message from the boy. It made reference to a japping, Norwegian slang for murder, in England for a bounty of 270,000 Norwegian kroner, which is £21,000 sterling. The message said the assassin would be smuggled out of the country, hopefully. The quote-unquote assassin would be smuggled out of the country, adding, nothing can go wrong. Sure. Minutes later, Natland was added to a group chat with a Stavanger-based recruiter called Generalen. I don't know how to pronounce that properly. Generalen. And Shehab, that Iraqi sort of gangster, murderous gangster, based in Sweden. In a message to the latter, Generalen claimed Stavanger provided assassin after assassin. In court, Natland said he thought it was a joke. Yeah, right. But messages suggest he took it deadly seriously. Natland asked, who is to be shot? Just over an hour later, he messaged his girlfriend, Sarah Solby, about his crazy mission. This is his girlfriend, Sarah. Okay. Dobbed him in, basically. Giving evidence, Ms. Solby, 19, said Natland told her, now I can finally kill someone and it's perfect. I get money to do it. So he's mad. He's mad. Completely out of his mind. Psychopath. Okay. Iranian proxies looking out for people like that. All right. On March 17th, Natland flew to Manchester with an emergency passport. He had just £40 in cash, a mobile phone and a small bag of clothes. He was denied entry due to doubts over his age and funds, but there were no flights back to Stavanger that day, so Natland was allowed into the UK and told to return on March the 21st. Throughout this time, he had been receiving direct instructions from Shehab, that Iraqi murderer. Not Swedish Iraqi, just Iraqi. Once in England, he was handed over to another agent, likely based in this country. Natland took a taxi to Huddersfield. I thought he only had 40 quid. Okay. Took a taxi to Huddersfield, where he was directed to a wood in which the guns, ammunition and cash were stashed. He then checked into Briarcourt Hotel, where double rooms go for £120 per night. I thought he only had 40 quid. I guess maybe you get more cash from this drop in the woods in Huddersfield. I mean, wait, just wait a minute for a moment. Just what's going on here? What's going on here? So we're being told here that an Iraqi man that's actually working on behalf of Iran, but running large-scale organized crime out of Sweden, has somehow found a Norwegian psychopath, sent him over to Huddersfield. Tell me this isn't like a Forsyth novel. And in the woods in Huddersfield, there's guns and ammo and cash. And then he's just got a hole up in Huddersfield for a while before they tell him who the target is for him to assassinate. It's all quite elaborate, isn't it? Quite elaborate. Okay. Natland sent his girlfriend a picture of himself smiling while holding a pistol with the message, soon it will happen. Or just in the clear. He just sent that to his girlfriend in the clear, not decrypted or encrypted or anything. Just, okay. So, again, this is a child monster. He doesn't know what on earth he's doing, really, does he? He just wants to murder someone, get paid for it. That's what he wants. He's not, like a professional... a professional operator or anything like that, trained in espionage or counter-espionage or anything at all. He's just a psycho kid. Okay, let's finish this. Soon it will happen, he just texted his girlfriend in the open. What he didn't know was that authorities were already onto him. On March 15th, Norwegian police intercepted a message in which Generalen, his sort of one of his handlers, recruiters, discussed, quote, a mission in Europe. Generalen was arrested at Oslo Airport 2 days later in connection with another plot. At around the same time, a teacher and classmate of Natland both contacted police after he told friends outside a house party he was involved with the Foxes, an apparent reference to the criminal Foxtrot network. And he said, apparently, just outside a party to a number of people, I'm going to get a lot of money. Someone is going to die, he boasted. So, again, just a sort of crazed child psychopath. Late on the 18th of March, Norwegian investigators traced Natland to Huddersfield. At 5:15 a.m. the next day, armed police arrested him. Natland admitted possession of the firearms but denied conspiracy to murder. He told the court he planned to sabotage the mission by literally shooting himself in the foot. And the defendant said he boasted about the situation to look cool, but didn't back out earlier because he was terrified Foxtrot would kill him. Might be true. I doubt it, but might be true. He's just going to shoot himself in the foot at the last moment. All right. He pleaded that he was not a cold-blooded professional hitman like Liam Neeson from the film Taken, but just a drug addict. Yet prosecutor Alistair Richardson said Natland was just the sort of person Foxtrot recruits. Swedish journalist and Foxtrot expert Diamant Silju told the Daily Mail that Shihab, quote, has been one of the most important recruiters for Foxtrot in recent years, end quote. The group is led by Swedish-Iraqi national Rawa Majid, not Swedish-Iraqi, Iraqi. There's such thing as Swedish-Iraqi. That's a nonsense thing. An Iraqi called Rawa Majid, who's 39, known as the Kurdish Fox, who rules the Scandinavian drug trade, apparently. Who knew? Foxtrot has been linked to attacks on Israeli and Jewish targets across Europe. Norwegian prosecutors told the Mail that Foxtrot had brought pre-existing Telegram or Signal groups packed with youngsters to recruit children as young as 13 for missions. The largest group, which has since been closed, was called Samurai Kids and had up to 11,000 members. Again, this is all in open court. It's like a matter of record. You can only sort of take this at face value, really. Man, I didn't know any of this until I was reading this morning. Foxtrot has a strict hierarchy. At the top are the instigators who order the crimes and finance it. In Natland's case, this was Agent 47. Beneath them sit recruiters such as General N. At the bottom are the enforcers, teenagers who, as Natland said, just wanted to be someone. Crucially, They are rarely told who their target is until the last moment. Natland was arrested before learning of his. It is not known who the intended victim was. What is known is that Iran is increasingly outsourcing attacks. So again, we've been asked to believe that an Iraqi man in Sweden who's working for Iran has got someone he really wants to assassinate in Huddersfield. Sounds crazy and implausible, doesn't it? But I mean, who does the Iraqi regime want to assassinate in Huddersfield? Don't know. Okay. Johan Natland was never told. Okay. In December, nearly finished. In December, Shihab was arrested in Iraq. Oh, right. Okay. I thought he's Swedish. Thought he's Swedish Iraqi. He's not in Sweden. He's arrested in Iraq in an operation to disrupt assassination missions. He's suspected to have been behind 23 attempted murders and 5 like actual murders. General N, who is only 17, was convicted in Norway of multiple counts of accessory to murder and accessory to attempted murder for plots in Sweden, Norway, and Natland's case in Huddersfield. For Natland's mother, Ellen Kongsnes, all this is still scarcely believable. I don't really blame her in a way. She said before the first trial that his arrest was, quote, completely incomprehensible, quote. It feels like a very bad movie with a terribly bad script that doesn't seem realistic at all, she added. And the Mail ends this article by saying, sadly, it's only all too real. And with a lengthy sentence likely, it has anything but a happy ending. Take that or leave it. I thought that was interesting. I'm not saying... I think that's up to you guys to believe if all of that is real or not. I just thought it was interesting. A lot of that stuff I didn't know before. And it reads like something out of... It does read like something out of fiction. What his mum said at the very end there rings true. It's like a bad... It's almost like a bad novel. Not a Frederick Forsyth one. A bad one. Ah, well, all right, anyway. Should we move on? Should we just move on? Was there even one or two... Well, before we do. I did a segment yesterday on the podcast talking about how Dave Paulden, the gay Jewish man who somehow finds himself leader of the Green Party and packed it with Islamists, who posted a picture of someone that seems to want to guillotine Nigel Farage and refused to apologise for it, and it was referred to the police. No further action to be taken against Dave Paulden over social media image. All right. Okay. Throw Lucy Connolly in jail. We throw Sam Mellier in jail. We throw Peter Lynch in jail. But left is crazy... crazy subversive filth like Dave Paulden don't have to answer for that. Okay. We live in a two-tier justice system, don't we? Absolutely. Okay. Is there one other story? Oh yeah, looks like he's increasingly in trouble for alleged sex crime. Sorry, underage sex crime. All right. On this day in history, what happened of note? You guys seem to like me doing this bit. I quite enjoyed it, doing this bit. On this day, the 30th of July, down through the centuries, nay, the millennia, what happened of note? Okay, we've got, on this day in 30 BC, the Battle of Alexandria. Mark Antony achieves a minor victory over Octavian. Octavian goes on to be the Emperor Augustus. But most of his army, Mark Antony's army, subsequently deserts, leading to Octavian Augustus's invasion of Italy. Yeah. Do you think that on my history-themed show, look, there's the banner for it. Look, I'm pointing to it. Bodade's Epochs. Behind the paywall on loadseaters.com, do consider signing up for as little as £5 a month, bronze tier membership, hundreds and hundreds, literally without exaggeration, hundreds and hundreds of hours of history-themed content by yours truly. body of work built up over 5 years. Do you think there I talk about the life and career and adventures of Mark Antony and Octavian? It's all there. Plutarch's life of Antony is very good. There's also a life of Octavian. Suetonius is quite good on Octavian. The 12 Caesars. Plutarch's life of Antony is very good. Because it was only the year before, wasn't it? Of course, if you know your Roman history, your late Republic, you know that the Battle of Actium, naval battle off the coast of Greece, is really the turning point, which Octavian wins against Mark Antony and Cleopatra. And that was really the crux moment. Antony and Cleopatra retreat effectively to Egypt and Alexandria. Octavian follows them, besieges Alexandria for a while, months and months and months, eventually gets inside and it's all over. Antony and Cleopatra both have to feel they have to commit suicide rather than be almost certainly sort of paraded through Rome as a captive, humiliated, perhaps even ritualistically sacrificed in front of the Roman mob. Certainly executed one way or another. So they take their own lives. Fascinating stuff. You want to know all about it in detail, long form detail, hours of it from me. It's there. Okay. On this day in 1178, Holy Roman Emperor Frederick I Barbarossa is crowned king of Burgundy at Arles. Because he married, his wife was, I can't remember her first name, but she was the heiress of Burgundy. So he inherited that, or got that through marriage. One of the, Frederick Barbarossa, one of the most important early, sort of relatively early Holy Roman Emperors. One of the greatest sort of figures in German history, really. I mean, you know, Hitler's invasion of the Soviet Union. They called it Operation Barbarossa, didn't they? Because it's like one of their greatest military generals of all time, Barbarossa. Having loads and loads of wars with everyone around him, sort of, really. The Byzantines, the Italians, the Poles, on and on and on. Nearly always winning. Not always, nearly always winning. He was the one that actually went on the Lionheart's Third Crusade and got drowned as an old man. He ruled for like 35 years or something. He's the one. He's the same one. Different accounts whether he fell off his horse or whether he just tried to wade through a relatively shallow river, fell over in his armour, drowned. One of the most powerful men in all of Europe. Just accidentally drowned in a stream, in a river. That's the same one. All right, anyway, very important figure for the early medieval period. For Germany, for Central Europe. On this day, in 1419, pardon me, the first defenestration of Prague, which is anti-Catholic Hussites, followers of executed reformer Jan Hus, storm Prague Town Hall and throw the judge, mayor and several city council members out of the windows. They die in the fall or are killed by the crowd outside. So, I mean, this is a fair time before the Reformation, right? Martin Luther's Reformation. Jan Hus, as I've said a number of times, there's people like Martin Luther before Martin Luther. Like John Wycliffe, for example. Hundreds of years before Martin Luther. Jan Hus was one of those. He was basically a pre-Protestant, basically, saying, look, there's all sorts of problems with the Catholic Church, deep and profound issues with the fundamental issues with the Catholic Church. Rome is doing Christianity incorrectly, effectively, one way or another, saying that. There's a number of these people throughout history. Savonarola, right? Harry? The mad monk of Florence, Savonarola. Sort of a pre-Protestant Protestant. I think I've got long-form content all about that. Oh, yeah. In one of my Henry V videos, got a long-form series, over 10 or 15-odd episodes all about Henry V. Because this is in and around his time. There was the Council of Constance. In, is it in 1415, the Council of Constance? that's where they, the same year as the Battle of Agincourt, where they asked Jan Hus to come and tell them all his issues with the Catholic Church, and he'll definitely be treated well. But he's arrested. In fact, did they burn him at the stake straight after that? Or did they keep him in prison for a few years? In the end, they did burn him at the stake. I can't remember if it was quite soon after the Council of Constance. But anyway, there you go. All right. Anyway, enough of that. Enough of that. On this day in 1619, the House of Burgesses in Virginia forms, first elected American governing body. Yeah, interesting. If you're very interested in the that period of history, as I am. Got a little bit of long-form content. Oh, actually, it's largely on History Bro. Actually, you can go to that camera on my other channel where there's no paywall, by the way. There's no paywall on History Bro. It's all completely free there. Got some long-form content largely in conversation with Benjamin Boyce, the great Benjamin Boyce. How are you, Boyce? See, we've got to do that thing we said we'd do on... we're going to do Teddy Roosevelt. We've got to do it. I've done all the reading for it. I'm ready. Anyway, on there, all sorts of content about... Some content, anyway, about the United States before the Declaration of Independence and the Revolutionary War. In, for example, long-form content, we've got all about the life of Jefferson, Thomas Jefferson, famously a Virginia man. These people thought of their country as their state, like before there is the United States of America, someone like Jefferson or his predecessors, his ancestors, they would consider that their country is Virginia, right? Their country is Massachusetts or whatever it is. Because by 1776, they've already got quite a long history and tradition of governing themselves largely. Anyway, there you go. On this day in 1863, Indian Wars, Chief Pocatello, I don't know about this. I read this earlier this morning. I'm like, oh, do I know anything about that, really? I don't think I do, but I'll read it out for you anyway. Chief Pocatello of the Shoshone, I think that's how you pronounce that, the Shoshone tribe, signs the Treaty of Box Elder, promising to stop harassing emigrant trails in southern Idaho and northern Utah. So, like, in the west. Or even the northwest a bit. Idaho's a bit more north, isn't it? Utah isn't, but... I don't know much about that, I must say. I can't really sort of add much detail to that, but interesting anyway. We're told on this day in 1869, world's first oil tanker, the Charles, departs the United States for Europe, carrying 7,000 barrels of oil. Mildly interesting. Mildly interesting. I don't know, not really much to add to that, but there you go. On this day in 1935, first Penguin books published, starting the paperback revolution. 1935, great. Penguin books. Making a much, much more literate world. Now we've passed that peak, haven't we? Most people don't read these days. Most people don't really read, do they? Even people that sort of claim they do. You scratch the surface. Not really. Few people read. It's like a dying thing. Seems like. I mean, read a book. They might read web pages all the time, but... Sit down with a Penguin paperback, you know. Sit down with Treasure Island for a few hours, night after night, reading it, or whatever it is, you know. Sit down with a Frederick Forsyth novel. Read The Day of the Jackal. People don't do it much anymore, it feels like, it seems like. Okay, the last one here, what have we got? On this day, 1937, the Soviet Politburo issues NKVD Order 00447 during the Great Purge to repress property-owning kulaks and anti-Soviets. 269,100 arrested, with 76,000 executed. Well done, socialism. Well done. Well done. Well done, leftist economic theory. Brilliant. Well done, Reds. Yeah, kulaks. You know what kulaks are? Kulaks are peasants who actually own something, anything. Anything. Kulak could be a peasant that owns one cow, say. Or just their own hovel. In communism, you're not allowed to own anything. You're not allowed to own anything. A Kulak, you own a few chickens and a hovel. No, you're arrested for that. That's supposed to be state property. What do you think you're doing, owning anything? Filthy capitalist, owning anything. Right, you're arrested. Okay. Let's do our Rumble Rants and Super Chats. Rumble Rants first. Let me do this with my mic boom so I can see the left-hand side of my screen. Is global church history going to be in at number one? Let's have a look. Yes, it's a good day. Raining, defending, and still... reigning champ of the Rumble Rants on Breakfast with Bo. Global church history. First name global, middle name church, surname history. Mr. History tells us on this day in 101 BC, 140,000 Kimbrians were killed at Versailles by Gaius Marius. Do you reckon I've got long form content, few hours, fair few episodes, four, five, six, seven episodes, I can't remember how many, hours and hours, talking about in as much detail as possible, largely reading from their life by Plutarch, of multiple time consul, late Roman Republic era hero, Gaius Marius. Do you reckon that's there behind the paywall on loadseaters.com? Oh, you can bet your sweet ass it's there. Oh, yeah. It's a good deal, £5 a month, bronze tier membership. 200 hours of content. Marius was this is in the generation before Caesar and Augustus. Marius and Sulla having their civil wars. Yeah, 140,000 Kimbrians. Are they Germans, modern-day Germans? Were they really much more from somewhere in what today we call France or Gaul, or perhaps even from what today we call Switzerland? Not entirely sure. Was it more than one tribe, more than one people, these Kimbrians in the age of Marius? We don't know. Anyway, they incurred into sort of Transalpine Gaul, into Italy, even getting close to Italy, and Rome panicked. They're like, oh, we're being invaded by tens and tens of thousands, even hundreds of thousands of barbarian men, like a whole people on the move. Our best general is Marius, even though we're not supposed to give him more consulships and more commands, make him the imperator again, year after year after year. We're not supposed to do that, but he's our only hope. Help us, Gaius Marius, you're our only hope. So they sent him up there. He smashed them. Smashed them to bits. Saved Rome. They were scared it was going to be another Brennus situation. Brennus the Celt, who had, long before that, actually sacked Rome. You're like, what? God, I remember the dates off in my head. When did Brenner sack Rome? Pop quiz. Like the 390s BC? Is it something like that? I don't know why I'm thinking that off the top of my head. Anyway, a few centuries before that, a barbarian had sacked Rome. Brennus. The Romans feared the same thing was going to happen at the hands of these Kimbrians. But Marius saved them. You want to know about that in loads of detail? Literally the movements of what goes on and when and what happened and how? Yeah, it's behind the paywall. You're welcome. And the other factoid that global church history gives us this morning is that on this day in 762 AD, Baghdad was founded near Ctesiphon. Interesting. The ancient city of Ctesiphon is basically just outside where modern Baghdad is now. It's often the way, isn't it? Like modern day Mosul is Nineveh, right? The ancient Syrian city of Nineveh. It's just outside, or overlaps a bit, doesn't it, with modern-day Mosul. So that would be Al-Mansur, like one of the most famous Abbasid caliphs. Yeah, something like that. Only got 300 or 400 years before the Mongols destroy Baghdad. That's a whole other story. All right, thanks, Global Church History, for your daily factoids. I love it. It's a nice supplement to the on this day in history bit I do. Works really well. Thank you. Okay. Let's do the other Rumble Rants. We've got Fortean Barber, who says, morning, mate. Morning. Sweet haircut. Yeah. Slap head. Sweet haircut. Sharp, he says. Thank you. If you're going to go cue ball, you've got to keep it. You've got to keep it. Sean, haven't you? There's nothing quite like a Sean scalp. I suggest you try it. Nice and clean. Nice and neat and clean, especially in the hot weather. You say, hope you feel better soon for eating a bad batch of something. Cheers, yeah. I do feel really weak. Like, could push me over with a feather. I feel like I haven't eaten. You ever, like, starved yourself, really starved yourself for, like, 48 hours or something? And you're weak. You're like, that's how I feel right now. Okay. You hope I feel better. Thank you, sir. I brought loads of hose pipes. I bought you loads of hose pipes yesterday ago to make sure I had enough if they do a hose pipe ban. All right. They're actually going to ban you physically owning a hose pipe. So you bought loads of hose pipes. That's not what a hose pipe ban means. It's funny. 14 Barbers made a funny. But thanks there for wishing me better. Appreciate it. Really do. Really do. Okay. Next one. Fallen Firebird. Hello, Bo, my captain. Get better soon, thanks. You say, like how Prussia was an army with a state, we are becoming an old people's home with a state. Yeah. A national care service is a mark of our ailing civilization. Yeah. Fair enough. Fair, astute observations. Yeah. Okay, Ryan Hinnigan, spelt with a 3 in there. Ryan Hinnigan spells, they say, late, full stop. Like, is that, like, you're late, I guess? You just put, late, full stop. Did we mention the South Korean market crash? Oh, Harry did yesterday on the main podcast, afternoon podcast of the Lotus Eaters. Big Harry Robinson did a full segment about that. So if you want Lotus Eaters talking about it, that's on there from yesterday. Check it out. Oh, I don't say enough, do I? Do make sure you're subbed to the channel and hit the like button and get the bell on. Consider becoming a member. Do we even do membership? Is there membership on this channel? I should know that, shouldn't I? But
There's not, no.
Oh, why not? Should probably do that, shouldn't we? Why not? We're leaving engagement and money on the table. Let's do it. I don't know. Anyway, that's up to Carl. That's up to Carl. I don't get involved in that. I just sit in front of the camera and spiel out takes. That's literally what I do. I don't do any of the other stuff. Maybe you should, though. Anyway. Ryan Hinnigan says, the South Korean market crash. Yeah, so that's yesterday. With the world dependent on them for microchips, seems important. Also up Dan's alley, Dan Tubb, our resident economist. It's falling faster than US in 2008, according to X. First domino, ? Maybe. First domino in what? The complete collapse of all Western economies, particularly the American economy and the dollar. I doubt it, maybe, but I doubt it at this point. Who knows, though? But yeah, if you want some information and takes on that, yesterday's podcast, check it out. I'm on it as well. It's me, Big Harry, and Nate. You know, Nate, Mr. H Reviews. Mr. H Reviews and off of and the State of Politics. State of Politics. Okay. All right. Fallen Fire. Last two Rumble Rants. Fallen Firebird again says, quick, call the Genius Conclave. We must figure out how to solve the problem of them foreign gangs committing sabotage in our countries. Oh, wait. What's that on the horizon? It's the fix everything button, ! Yeah, mass remigration. This country must have a program of forced mass remigration to the tune of millions of people. Because if we don't, the fabric of our society and our economy collapses and we descend into a sectarian nightmare. Something like the Yugoslavia of the 1990s. An endless bloodbath, sectarian nightmare along racial, religious and tribal lines. Millions must go. They must go. Not just to be mean. Because the consequences of them not leaving is nightmarish. Truly, truly nightmarish. Look into the details of what happened after Tito died in Yugoslavia. Read a book about that. Watch a documentary. There's lots of them. Lots of them. How the Balkans and Yugoslavia descended into horror and madness. Want that for England? No, you don't. So we've got to re-migrate millions of people that should not be here. Okay, and the last Rumble rant here is from Intelligentsia. Spelt like see ya. Goodbye, see ya at the end. Intelligentsia says, you are looking very peaky, Bo. Hope you feel better soon, mate. Yeah, I do. Yeah, I just... you feel a bit peaky. Peaky blinders. Thanks for the Rumble rant. Okay, let's do the Super Chats. Let's do the actual YouTube Super Chats, Harry, if you don't mind. You've got to bring that for me. Can you make it so? Engage. There they are. Okay. Oh, that's quite a few. 20 plus, something like that. Let's, if you don't mind, I'll whip through them. I'm struggling a little bit here. Okay. Calzetti. I've noticed Calzetti's often, not every day, but quite often is first in at the moment. Calzetti said, well done. Great. I'm here for it. Love it. Calzetti says, just in all capitals, clear them out. Yeah, clear them out. We've got to clear them out. We've got to clear them out. Yes, quite right. Stu KHP says, Fauci's assistant, Dr. E. Holmes, is just as guilty. I always think the Eamon Holmes joke is wearing a bit thin, unless you couch it in something more like that. Is that's funnier than just saying Eamon Holmes did it, couching it like that, Dr. E. Holmes. If you phrase it in a funny way, it's retaining its humour to me. Okay, all right. Muffle Moose says, happy birthday, Bow Boy. It's not my birthday, but thank you. It's my unbirthday. It's my unbirthday today. A very merry unbirthday to you. No, my birthday's in August, mate. Cheers anyway, though. Cheers anyway for the sentiment and the super chat. All right. Ezek86 says, I'm curious how many reservoirs have been built in the last 30 years of mass migration. Assume they've actually gone down in number instead. Yeah. When you look into some of the details of Britain's like reservoirs and how they're sort of mismanaged and things. That's why even the government, even Burnham's like making noises, talking about the possibility of even nationalising some of the bigger companies. Seems like our reservoir system and all sorts of the elements of our water infrastructure is just utterly, utterly mismanaged to sort of almost a comical degree. Again, it would be funny if it wasn't deadly serious. Yeah, you're right. I'm curious to know as well. You say that's what you say. I'm curious to know. Yeah, me too. Yeah. Something like that should be absolute top priority. Like... again, like the bedrock of the of everything, of the entire project of the nation. If you say that's like having the nuclear deterrent, surely our reservoir and water supplies are as, if not more, much more important. Yeah, okay. 44 Magnum Norse says, why does your government have a continuous cycle of libtards? I don't understand. Well, one, that's what the Labour Party is and has always been. The Fabians, Champagne Socialists, etc., etc. Yeah, there's a number of reasons. It's difficult. It's why did the good people of Makerfield decide to elect Burnham? A lot of them don't really know what they're doing, right? A lot of them, to be honest. When we had Vox Pops, even from this channel, and from Vox Populi and another of it. You talk to some random normies on the street and they're like, oh yeah, I've always voted Labour. Me and my family and our household have always voted Labour, so I'm going to vote Labour again. And there's no deeper thinking than that. I don't know about the policies or anything. You know, I don't know what country you're from, but in a lot of countries, why did the Spanish vote in a socialist government which seems intent on ruining their demographic? Why do the Americans ever vote in Democrats? Anywhere, really. Why do they? I mean, Why has France failed to vote in Le Pen before now? Why have they failed to vote in AfD before now in Germany, etc., etc., etc.? It's a complicated question, is it? Very complicated question. One of the big things in England is that where we've tried to have nationalist parties in any way, nativist parties, truly patriotic parties, they get demonised and scandaled into oblivion. Like, the very name of the BNP, for example, is beyond the pale. Right? They're trying everything they can to destroy something as milquetoast as reform. They will try everything to destroy Rupert and Restore, won't they? That's why. Right? So you end up with whatever's left. A continuous cycle of libtards. Because anything right of the Conservative Party, which is itself, in my opinion, barely centrist, basically globalist and leftoid, barely centrist, the Conservatives, anything to the right of that, the entire establishment tries to annihilate it, tries to strangle it at birth. That's why, isn't it? You tell me, people could write whole PhDs about it, couldn't they? All right, the next one. Amazing Disgrace 911. I love that name. They've put, what would you say to a smug newspaper that tells Elon that he has no idea what is going on in Britain? What would I say to them? I'd say that he almost certainly has a better understanding of what's going on than you guys. Or that you guys do know what's going on and yet very, very deliberately are subverting and perverting your takes and your nature, how you present reality to your readership. Whereas Elon, at least, seems to be much more interested in reality. What's actually real and happening and the truth. Our newspapers, Fleet Street, doesn't seem to be interested in the truth. It seems to be a cabal of evil people, very, very proactively and deliberately lying by omission, if nothing else, every single day. If not actively perverting the truth. Okay, Sam H. 1989 says, did you see Nate reposted an African family getting a 5-bedroom council house immediately after refusing a 4-bedroom? Enjoy work today, guys. Thumbs up. I didn't see that. I do follow Nate and he follows me, but I didn't see that. Classic, though, classic. An African family turning down a 4-bedroomed house. So we just give them a 5-bedroom house. Then. Well, how many kids have they got? I don't know the details of this. Have they got like 10 kids, though? I mean, I don't know. They shouldn't be here. Why should an African family get anything from this country? Send them back to the land of their ancestors, their country of origin. This isn't their country. Mr. Dickie Bingo, how are you, sir? Says, millions more people, no new reservoirs, gallons wasted because water companies are negligent. Now data centres. And I've got to reduce my use? ? No, he says, Mr. Dickie Bingo says. Yeah, quite right. Agree with everything you said there. Yep. You've got to make sure there's enough water for the AI data centres. Do we? I would John Connor all of that. Go to war with it. Don't need it. Don't want it. Okay. Rodney, that's their name, @Rod_Knee, says, millions must go, including the Labour government. Yes, please. Yeah. There's certainly a few in the Labour government that I might actually deport as foreign people. Yeah. James Lee Pevenhole says, Chronicles of St. Warburg, Abbey Chester, 1114 AD. Then you've put in speech marks. 1114, the Thames at London was completely dried up. And then you say medieval warm period. Yeah, right. The fluctuation in temperatures sort of on a daily basis is nothing to get concerned about. But there's one field in Blackheath that's scorched. The grass has gone all yellow. Yeah, in the medieval warm period, for example, exactly as James Lee Pevenhall says, the Thames at a certain point It's completely dried up. Then you have a cold snap, like in the early Victorian period. Or was it in the Elizabethan period? The Thames would freeze over. Completely freeze over. People going out skating on the ice on the Thames. In the middle bit of London as well. Not somewhere way upstream where it's a lot smaller. In the middle of London. Freeze over. People go out skating. People would go out on the ice and set up a little stall and sell things. That's how thick the ice was. So fluctuations, both hot and cold, vastly different to what we've got today, right now, in July 2026. Oh, there's a bit of scorched grass in Blackheath and the grass has gone all yellow. Oh, no. Calm down. Get some perspective. Get some perspective. But they don't. They're deliberately not, are they? They're deliberately not putting it in perspective. They're deliberately peddling a very, very specific agenda, aren't they? Obviously. Obviously, that's what's going on. Okay, Brendan Lucas says, it's not the seventh Spider-Man film, it's the fourth Holland Spider-Man film. Okay. Okay, if you say so. Holland has been in two Avengers films and the third Captain America film. Thought you were up in current affairs, F's sake. Yeah, no, I'm not. No, I don't. I'm not up on superhero films. I think they're dumb. I think they're dumb. And if you follow it really, really, really closely and watch every single one religiously, grow up. Get better taste. Is that a bit harsh? Have I alienated some of the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters, by saying that? Well, so be it. Read a proper book. Stop watching Spider-Man films. How old are you? All right. Amazing Disgrace 911 says, they all have a better example of who does it better, but who would never live there. What are you referencing there? They all have a better example of who does it better, but would never live there. What, Harry, what do you think she's referring to there? I'm sorry. I'm not sure exactly what you're referencing.
Sweden, maybe.
Okay. Okay, maybe. All right. Interesting. I'm going to move on. I've got to move on. I'm feeling quite unwell, to be honest, people. So I'm going to whip through the last few, if you don't mind. I'm struggling a little bit here. Okay. Brendan Lucas again says, that flurry of Iranian ballistic missiles is about the length and breadth of their asymmetrical abilities. Time for CENTCOM to go lateral and start moving stealth destroyers, US has two, into strait. Yeah, at some point, I would imagine the Americans have got to actually take the strait, by, like, physically, put their warships in the strait, move warships and even their carrier groups into the Persian Gulf. I imagine at some point, probably. I don't know. Okay, Opening Doors 1 says, is it true Prince Harry's a real mum is Elton John? Okay, don't know. I haven't got time to go into Harry's real dad. Okay, Ricky Allen 2195 says, morning, I'm curious what your opinion is of GB News. Pretty much another containment machine, more or less. A bit like the Express or the Mail, wearing the skin suit, trying to pretend they're actually based or patriotic or nativist in all sorts of ways. But they'll just have leftists on and not nationalists, won't they? There's a tiny bit to the right of something like the BBC, but only a tiny, tiny bit. They'll still essentially ignore even somebody like Tommy, even a civnat like Tommy is beyond the pale for GB News. I like some of the people at GB News. There's a bit of a crossover between various people and presenters at Lotus Eaters and GB News, aren't there? All sorts. I like Patrick Christie's. Patrick Christie's is good. Genuinely good. I like him. He's got balls. There's one or two others as well that aren't too bad. But a load of them are like effectively leftoids as well. They wouldn't have a proper nationalist on there, would they? There you go. Says it all, doesn't it? Containment still. Containment. Shoney C says, how could a Le Pen win affect small boats? Oh, okay, sorry. How could a Le Pen win affect small boats? Well, hopefully it would. I mean, Marine Le Pen actually isn't massively, massively based. She's better than the socialists and the champagne socialists and the so-called centrists like Macron that are actually just leftists still. She's better than them, but she's not insanely based. Hopefully, at the very least, she would try and actually enforce that agreement, the agreements we've got with them, that the French authorities will prevent the dinghies from leaving French beaches in the first place. You would hope, wouldn't you? But who knows? We shall see. She's set to win, aren't they? They are set to win. Fingers crossed, I suppose. Better than nothing. Okay. Bucks Corp says, love you, bro. Cheers, that's kind. Love you too. Best show on the net. Cheers. Not my words. I'm not paying this chap to say that. Feel better soon. Thank you. Thank you. Shout out to Harry as well. Great work, guys. Lovely. Thank Bucks Corp. Thank you. Appreciate that. Really do. Really do. Oh, and the last two are Brendan Lucas again. The last two. You say, US tested first microwave weapon in action this week. Yeah, I did see a video about that yesterday. Knocked out 10 Iranian drones. Cost pennies per shot. Meanwhile, we are working on drones. Yeah, I did see a video about that. I only just had a little bit of time yesterday to actually watch the video, and it was talking about that. Yeah, some sort of microwave weapon. Well, I saw something else about some sort of cutting edge weapons that we've not really heard of before or seen in action before. I'll have to brush up on that today or tomorrow or over the coming weekend at some point to get up to speed on the details of that. Very interesting. Okay, and the very last one here today from Brendan Lucas again says, hope you feel better. BPF? What's BPF? What's BPF? I don't know. But you put, hope you feel better.
To be
fair. Oh, to be fair, it's your own fault. I didn't know the chorizo in that mac and cheese was going to be poisonous. Talmud says you shouldn't drink milk with meat. Oh, right, will there be milk in the cheese sauce of the mac and cheese? Anyway, you're mucking about it anyway. Thanks, though. You did say, hope I feel better, so I'll take that. Thanks. One more's just came in. I may as well read it. Rookie Army 25, that's their name, says, morning, big fan. Oh, cheers. Have you heard about urban youths dressing up as fake Deliveroo drivers and breaking into people's homes in broad daylight? No, I hadn't heard about that. Well, that's a black pill to end on, isn't it? Why not? Millions must go. Millions. It's inevitable. It's inevitable. All right, that's the show. I made it longer than I thought. It's now 43 minutes past 9 in the AM. Don't say I'm not generous, even when I'm not feeling well. I'm a river to my people, the gross band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters. 43 minutes past 9 in the AM, British Summertime, on Thursday the 30th of July in the year of our Lord, 2026. Thank you for joining me. Really, really appreciate it. Try and make the best of the day ahead if you can. Carpe diem, seize the day. If your time is your own today, try and make it count. It's the most valuable thing you will ever have. Okay, I'm going to go now and try and get some rest. Until tomorrow then. Take care.